Okay, Ron Van Dam may not be the prettiest face in radio, but come on, that voice, am I right? You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the sexiest voice in podcasting on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What do you want?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Who let you in here? How did you get here? Who invited you? I made the mistake of posting my shoe size on Facebook. Now everybody knows my shoe size. I think my shoe size was stolen, my shoe size identity. Now there are people going into shoe stores asking for shoes in my size. Can you believe this? In my size. So yesterday I go to a DSW. I have no idea what that stands for, but it's a shoe store. There's an S in it, so I guess that's shoe. I don't even know. So I go in there and I'll tell you, I wear an 11 and a half. I mean, everybody knows it by now. It's because my shoe identity was stolen. And I went in there and I saw this lovely shoe. I think I used the word lovely by mistake. I saw this really nice looking shoe. And looked on the shelf to see if it was in my size, and my size wasn't there. So I called over one of the stock people. They're stocky. And this girl comes over, and I said, I want this shoe in an 11 and a half. And she says, oh, I'm sorry, sir. But for some reason, we're out of 11 and a half all of a sudden. I knew it. It's because someone stole my shoe size, and they're going across the country buying shoes in my size. And then when I want shoes in my size and I go into shoe stores, my size isn't there anymore because magically my size is gone. Ooh. That's why I say, kids, don't post anything on Facebook. Not even your, don't even put your face on Facebook. I know that that's, why do they call it Facebook? What is, that's very strange. It should be like information book or meet people book or friends book or something. Face, what was a, how superficial can a website be? Sounds like you're just complaining today. What's wrong with you? I got to get a new mirror. I looked in the mirror yesterday morning, and I looked horrible. And I realized, well, it can't be the mirror. I don't look that bad. It's not me. It's the mirror. So I'm going out today. I'm going to buy a new mirror. I have nothing else to do. All right. We're in almost month number 5 of the big social experiment, the global social experiment. And this new normal thing, I'm kind of understanding what that means. New normal means that normal is not normal, but it's normal now. But that's not why I'm here. I am here to entertain you like some type of jester in your kingdom, where I shall perform for you in various manners. Perhaps I shall make you chuckle. Perhaps I shall make you think of things or stimulate you in a mental sense. Perhaps I will do a card trick, which will make no sense. But my real purpose here is, you can't define it. You can't define it. What are you doing here? That's the question. I kid you. You know, we kid around all the time. Remember when we went fishing together and you caught a fish and I said, oh my God, that stinks, throw it back. Good times, man, good times. How are you? Welcome to the program. Relax. Take it easy. I hope you're feeling well. I really do. If you're very careful, perhaps you shall stay feeling well, and that would be wonderful. Wear a mask. I tell that to children. Last Halloween, I put up a big sign in front of my house on my lawn, and it said, "Children, please wear a mask." Now, I didn't know this was going to happen. I was referring to the Halloween thing. I mean, I don't want to see a kid's real face. Put a mask on. I mean, it wasn't for health reasons. I don't want to see your face. Cover yourself up. I don't want to know who you are. I don't want any recollection of this event. Cover your face. And don't tell me you're from the neighbor's house. I don't care where you're from. Here's your candy. Get the hell off my property. I mean, it's really simple. I'm the neighbor that says, get the hell off my lawn. That's me. Hello. I've been that way since I was 2 years old. I used to stand out in front of my house, my parents' house, as an infant in my diapers. And I used to stand there and say, get out of here. Get the hell out of here. At 2 years old, those are my first words. It wasn't mommy. It wasn't daddy. It's what the hell are you doing here? Those are my first words. It was my first phrase, and I've stuck to it ever since. It's my mantra. All right. I was watching a show yesterday, which I do frequently, and it was about auto racing. I used to be into auto racing. I used to like to watch cars go in a circular motion for 4 hours. I thought that was entertaining, but the amazing thing of these drivers going over 200 miles an hour and they're like less than an inch apart car to car and trying to pass each other, I think that's quite exciting. You can also get that on the highway, but this is, you know, far more fascinating. So I thought that was, you know, I liked auto racing until one day I realized the only reason I'm watching auto racing is waiting for the crashes. They never really get seriously hurt. Many have died, but not all of them. But the cars are so well made that they can get into a horrific accident. They can flip over 100 times and they walk out of the car. I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, it's exciting. So I was watching this special on auto racing. I don't watch auto racing anymore because I think I grew up. I matured. I started questioning what I was doing. So it didn't work out. But I'm watching auto racing, and they were talking about some of the great racers of all time. And one of the great racers in the past decades was a race car driver named Dick Trickle. And I'm not in middle school. You know, when in chemistry class, when the teacher draws a test tube on the board, I wasn't one of the ones that laughed because it looked like an upside down penis. I didn't. But my God, Dick Trickle, seriously, you are in the public as a sports figure, and you can't change your name to something else, like Bob Trickle. Even that's weird. But Dick Trickle, I can't get this image out of my head of that actually happening. And I'm thinking, hey, when I liked auto racing, Dick Trickle is funny. Now it's not so funny. Now it's, you get to be a certain age, that does happen. Anyway, and I was thinking, I'm like, crazy names, man. I talk about names every once in a while because we tag ourselves like cattle. We tag ourselves with our names and our backgrounds and our Facebook profiles. We tag ourselves with the name tags. I've talked about that a couple of days ago. There's another guy in sports that never changed his name, and people became so used to it, they never really thought about it again. But I think he was a Chicago football coach. I believe he was, because I'm not into sports, so I don't really know. His name was Dick Butkus. And when you break it on down, it's like, again, an image that I don't want to think about. But he was so popular that nobody thought about that. But it's a stupid name, Dick Butkus. Change something. Butkus is bad enough. Do we have to put a dick in front of it? I don't think the kids are going to understand what I'm saying. I don't think you need to throw them out of the room right now. I think it's too late anyway. How are you? I have a grace. I have a grace. I think it's time to stop talking because I'm not able to. I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. I think you'll be intrigued. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I say that because I should say it, not because I really want to. I am concerned about you. How are you doing? What is your mental state like? We're all screwed up now, every single one of us. We all have short fuses. Have you noticed that? It doesn't take much for us to get annoyed, you know? It's because we're getting frustrated. We're getting frustrated. This thing's been going on way too long, and in the back of our minds, it's like, all right, enough of this crap. I mean, let's do something about this, huh? So I think we're all getting a little short-tempered. You can't probably tell with me because I'm rather laid back and short-tempered as well. I'm an enigma. I'm both at the same time. I'm salty and sweet. But I think we're all like our fuses are getting a little bit shorter these days. And, you know, one rule that I learned from my parents were divorced when I was 13 years old. And they were very honest. And I said, why are you getting a divorce? Is it that you're not getting along? And they said, no, because you're driving us crazy. We can't stand you. We want to just split the responsibility. It's just too much. No, they didn't say that. Nobody's that honest. No, they didn't say that. No, they said they just they wanted to get along little doggy. I don't know what that meant. They weren't even from the West, but that's the phrase they used. Yeah, they wanted to. And actually, they both got remarried within 2 years of the divorce, or at least the separation. Within 2 years, they both got remarried, and they both were happier. My father lived happily ever after, just like in the fairy tales. And my mother was quite content with her new husband as well. So I thought, well, okay, this looks like it works for them. So they were divorced when I was 13 years old, and what I learned from, they never argued in front of me, ever, 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 never said a curse word in front of me, never argued in front of me, and I give them kudos for that. I don't know what a kudo is. I thought it was one of those, like, wolves or something that at midnight its eyes light up, and they go out, and they chew up people. I thought that was a kudo, but apparently it's not. But I give them kudos because they were able to do that. And that's a very hard thing to do, to shelter your children from your emotions, especially now when everybody's stuck in the place together, your apartment, your house, whatever the case may be. If you have children, man, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to wear a mask, not over your mouth and your nose, but over your entire personality. Oh, that was deep. That was so deep. I can't believe I said that myself. So that's a tough thing to do because adults are not that mature. I've learned that during this, not only during this pandemia, but I've also learned it during this past presidential 4 years of pure unadulterated hell. I've also learned that people are bone-chilling stupid. I mean bone-chilling stupid. They will follow anything. Was it the Jonestown thing where the leader said, we're all going to commit suicide tonight and then we're going to get into a spaceship and go to another planet? And all the followers said, okay, that's stupid. And that's what I think, that there's a lot of the country that is that stupid. Where someone says, follow me off the cliff. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're doing it. You don't even realize it, some of you. Anyway, I didn't want to get too political today, but people are stupid. They're just plain bone-chilling stupid. And that's what I learned. I learned that during all of this. You know? All right. Hey, here's something interesting. Yesterday, I was cleaning my house and cleaning my couch. There's amazing stuff in your couch that you didn't even know. I kidded about it before. A couple of people actually found Jesus in the crevice in the back of the couch near the back pillow. It's amazing what you'll find in the back of your couch because no one ever looks there. If you ever need change or some money, don't put your money in a bank. Put it in your couch. Just go in there anyway. Well, yesterday I'm cleaning the couch with a vacuum cleaner and I see these things that look like little pieces of paper. And I open them up, and my God, it's the Dead Sea Scrolls. I have the Dead Sea Scrolls in my couch. I don't know how they got there. It's probably like from thousands of years ago. And my couch isn't even that old, so I don't understand how that happens. But it is the Dead Sea Scrolls, because I opened them up, and there was, on the top, it said Dead Sea Scrolls. It was titled. It actually had a title. I didn't think the Dead Sea Scrolls had a title on them and a foreword, but they do. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there were the Ten Commandments. Well, there weren't ten of them. There were four, because, I don't know, I got ripped somewhere in the process. Four commandments. And the first commandment that I read was, people are bone-chilling stupid. It said that right in the Ten Commandments. That's the first commandment. Beware of people. They're bone-chilling stupid. I know. They knew that. They knew that. 2,000 years ago, they knew that. I'm sorry, 2,020 years ago. Can you believe it? Can you believe how much time has passed? I need to do my tax. Did you do your taxes? They were due July 15th. Uh-oh, you're screwed. Ron, why did you bring it up now? Almost 10 days later. Well, you know, I'm not exactly on top of everything. Here's another thing that's pissing me off. Have you noticed that the prices of everything has gone up? Your cable bill, your everything bill, groceries, oil changes, everything. Even gasoline is starting to creep a little bit higher. But I'm talking about like your insurance. Everything you pay for has gone up by about 10%, except for your salary. That hasn't. This is a pandemia. The nerve of these companies raising prices when we have no money. Most of us don't have an income, or didn't for a period of time, probably still don't. And they're raising prices. Well, thanks for the sensitivity. Thanks for the understanding and the sympathy. But companies say, hey, if we don't raise prices, we're going to go out of business. Well, then go out of business. I don't know what to tell you. That's not my problem. Well, it is your problem. We're going to raise your prices. Well, I guess it is my problem. Then I won't buy from you. I'll buy from somebody. But everybody's raising their prices. Ron, you can't hide from it. Damn it. Damn it. I have a great guest, in my opinion, and my guest will be joining me, rather soon. But first, we need to take this little commercial break. I don't think you really mind too much. Do you like avocados? Man, they love them in California. Here's a great avocado place. If you're in the mood.
Looking for someplace new and fun to take the family for breakfast? Then it's time to try Greg's House of Avocado Toast. Featuring all your breakfast favorites. White toast, wheat toast, rye toast, yes, even multigrain toast, and more, all topped with creamy avocado. Or mix it up a little with a toasted English muffin topped with avocado. Come in every Thursday for our chef's special creation, Sourdough Toast with Avocado. If it's toast with avocado on top, you'll find it, and nothing else, at Greg's House of Avocado Toast.
Good morning, Ron.
Hey, Boz, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Great. Boz Porter joins us now. We're talking about how individuals can empower themselves and become more resilient. This is something that you've been talking about for quite some time, I understand.
Yes. My journey is a checkered past of the forces and experience of addiction up until this point where I am completely clean. I am no longer addicted to anything. Yeah. And I teach and help people overcome certain issues within their lives and lead a positive format ongoing in their lives and what they want to become. Not what I want them to become, but what they want to become.
Yeah. I mean, it's good because when people have a concern about something they're going through and other people say, yeah, I know what you're going through, they usually don't. But you kind of do. I mean, you've had to deal with things, PTSD as well, I understand.
Yes, I spent 9 years in the British Army. Yeah. I did 11 operational tours, worldwide between 1995 and 2004, retiring in 2004. And I saw things that people shouldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
In order to, it was a job, but it was a job, and you go out of your way as a military personnel.
Yeah.
And the people who have served will know about this. They go out of their way to keep others safe and do that role. But in that time of service, you're required to go places that are sometimes unsavory.
Yeah, I imagine.
And it's impactful at the time, but you can arrive with traumas. But as I'm a living result, you can heal and change your life from these traumas positively.
When you went through the healing process, is it something that you had recognized yourself and you took yourself through it, or did you have to seek?
It took me a long time,
Ron,
to recognize I had PTSD. I didn't know what it was.
Uh-huh.
When I left forces, there wasn't such thing called PTSD. It was called shell shock, etc.
Yeah.
And it was recognized.
Right.
And in order to suppress the nightmares, the anxieties, the flashbacks, and all that territory, I was drinking. And I drank for nearly 10 years straight.
Yeah.
Well, I got to a point where I turned yellow. And only in that turning yellow aspect of drinking, and the doctor telling me, if you don't stop, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped. When I stopped, all these nightmares resurfaced, the anxiety resurfaced, because for 10 years I wasn't myself. I was being suppressed from alcohol and drugs. Anything else we get my hands on to try and suppress all these lower vibrational stuff coming up.
Yeah, you see, self-medicating.
And then I realized, but that's very, very common with PTSD. Extremely common.
It's totally common. As a matter of fact,
people don't want to admit.
Oh, no, it's so common that if you didn't do that, it would be odd because, you go through that kind of trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, you need crutches of some sort. Until you decide to change. You're known as the Light Angel, and I would imagine it's because you have helped people knowing how to do this. At some point, you probably said to yourself, I can help other people do this, or was it suggested to you that you can help other people?
It wasn't suggested to me. I became a gardener after I healed.
Uh-huh.
I was living in the UK, and I was a gardener for a garden open to the public, very successful garden open to the public. I loved that job. I loved the job.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't fulfilled. And the name, the Light Angel, was sort of because I rose from the ashes like a phoenix, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
An angel of light came down to me, if you like, of an epiphany, and I came up with a name. But the job I was in, I wasn't fulfilled. I knew there was more to what I wanted to do, but I didn't know it was at the time.
Yeah.
And I sat down, had a think, and I knew I needed to change the direction, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. So I started a Facebook group or a Facebook page. And I started to do free consultations online, or free phone calls, and I ended up doing that and expanded. And then I ended up doing two world tours purely on donations. So every time I went somewhere, it was a donation. And I went around the world twice doing this. Met my wife, met a girl who is now my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I now live in LA happily doing what I do. Supporting thousands of people. I love them.
What a fulfilling thing to do, it's you've helped so many people as a life coach. And it's interesting what you went through was might be considered to be extreme, but people I've noticed that everybody has something. Everybody's got an issue that's holding them back from something. They can be successful in one sense, but they're being held back by themselves. In another sense, whether it be a trauma or the way that they were brought up, or maybe they were sexually assaulted, whatever, everybody's got an issue that they need to overcome, and you've got plenty of stuff to do, I assume.
Yeah, 100%. Everyone yeah. has got an issue.
Yeah, well, they do. Yeah,
they, it's how you look at these. It's also how you look at these issues. A lot of it, and what I do. Obviously, I'm not a medical background. I'm not a therapist. Mm-hmm. I'm not a medical, but a medical background. But I have the life experience to look at things differently because yeah. I've lived it yeah. or lived a journey, extreme right. journey to yeah. some point, and that. Although it doesn't give me the qualification on paper, it gives me a lot of qualification with life and changing my experiences. And I'm living proof that it can be done.
Yeah.
That's, and I use my experiences to help, to positively help others and change their perception within. And it's the point of changing your perception within yourself, how you view yourself, facing that fear, overcoming it, changing your perception on it, and then moving forward positively to change your life. Once you know how to do that for yourself, you then send out, I suppose it's a vibration, if you like, towards others, and people just emanate towards you,
yeah.
and you start helping others. And it's very strange to watch someone come in from where they are or what, and heal from a trauma or change the perception over a trauma and come in and then pledge somewhere else
yeah.
because the job of a life coach is to take people in and release them a better person. A lot of people don't do that. They take them in and guide them and keep them.
Yeah.
And I don't like doing that. I like to take them for a time, whether it be a month, 2 months, 6 months, or a year, whatever time they need, and then let them go. And I will let them go willingly, happily, and wave to them goodbye. But they know if the support, if they need the support ever again, I'm here. I'm back. Yeah. I haven't gone anywhere. My line is always open. And it's watching them transform their life and giving them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. You know, it's
I love
it. Yeah. It's kind of like, I make the analogy, it's kind of like a bird that has a broken wing. And the bird is taught by another bird how to heal its broken wing. The wing heals, and the bird flies away. That's similar to, I guess, your theory of how this is done.
Yes. Okay. But the support is given as long as it's needed.
Yeah.
But it's not overly.
Okay.
They have to learn to fly again, obviously.
Yeah.
They Very don't cool. become codependent. A lot of people, especially at the moment, become very codependent on something or someone, whether it be an addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, or addiction to people. Because people can be addictive.
Yes.
People don't think about it like that. People yeah. are addictive. Mm. We are social creatures.
Mm.
People forget how to stand on their own two feet these days. Where at 15 years old, I joined the forces, I was thrown into that, and I had to stand on my own two feet.
Yeah.
And people become reliant on their social peers for money, for to make them feel better, their ego, etc.
Correct.
And it's learning to use what you have in a positive way and know you're unique for a reason.
Yeah.
And expand on that. Explore who you are. You're here to explore life and to enjoy life. You're not here to live a 9-to-5 job, and that's it.
I
that's
know.
Not all there is to life.
Yeah.
There's much, much more. People forget.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. Boz, I would assume that the most important thing to do and the first step would be to recognize what is wrong or what is stopping you from doing what you need to do. What issues you have that must be addressed, because most people that I meet, they don't even realize what they're like. They don't realize why they're not happy, why they're not succeeding, why they're not comfortable. They don't even know that. They say, "What me? No, I'm perfectly comfortable." No, no, you're not. Not to me, you're not. So I guess self recognizing is difficult, I suppose, for some people.
Yes, very much so. Taking responsibility where it's needed is very difficult. Recognizing something that's wrong within yourself when you're so far in a pattern.
Yeah.
Sometimes is it virtually impossible. However, there are signs. There are little instances within your life. You don't feel right. You won't sleep properly. You feel like boredom is set in. You feel like transformation. There'll be little signals to yourself that will tell you. And they're internal signals. But it's up to you to take responsibility to act on them. No one can tell you what to do. Right. I can't tell you and go, you must do this, you must do that. Because that's not what I do. It's taking responsibility for who you are and what you want to become in the future. Because every single one of you and of us has the potential to change. But it is potential.
Yeah.
No one can act on that for you.
Okay.
You've got to take responsibility and act for yourself.
So let's say people are hearing what you're saying and they're saying themselves, "Whoa, I've got things I can act upon. He's kind of woken me up." What do they do now?
You can get hold of me via my website, book a free consultation, www.thelightangel.com. I'm on social media, Baz Porter, 40. Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, The Light Angel.
Okay.
A number of articles published.
Okay, so it's the Light Angel. And I'll spell your name, Baz, because your first name is different than Joe. It's B-A-Z, Baz.
Yeah.
Porter. Yeah. Which is Baz Porter. You can Google him and find him. One more time, that website is thelightangel.com, is it?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, good. I mean, you do some incredible work, and thank you so much for doing what you do, and I'm sure a lot of people appreciate it, and probably even more after hearing the show today. Baz, I wish you the best of everything. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for being here today. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I don't know how I do it either, but I will be back. Will you come and join me tomorrow anytime you want? I'll be sitting here waiting for you to click on my face. Seriously? Come on, man. Is that a lot to ask? You got a little bit of time during your day. We can spend some time together. We can pick out furniture. How about that, huh? How about that? All right, that's enough. All right, Ron, that's enough. That'll be enough. Thank you. Thank you for doing the show, but that's enough. Okay, I can take a hint. I'll be back tomorrow. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Whew. That's over with. Oh, God.